So I want to talk to you today about the battleground. Amen. And we know the battle was where, saints? Right here. The battle was in the mind. The world understands that too. Amen. That's why they got sayings like, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. Amen. We talked about that last week. They have that saying. They know it's a terrible thing to waste. Or, as a man thinks, so is he. Amen. You're what you think, saints. Before anything happens, a thought has to occur. Amen. It all starts in the mind. Amen. That's why we thank God for waking us up with activity of our limbs and in our right mind. That's what the old folks say. Hey, we won. Lord, thank you. I woke up in my right mind because that's where the battle is. But the question is, what is our right mind? What is that? Huh? I showed you some mindsets. Look at the mindsets of the tenets and how crazy flesh can think. Amen. Flesh can get crazy. Huh? So what is the right mindset, saints? Our right mindset is really the mind of Christ. Huh? That's why in Philippians 2:5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. And that's Philippians 2:5. Last week, I read the whole thing. But I'm just going to read 1-4 this week because I'm going to try to get through this. I'm going to read Philippians 2:1-4, because the first 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ, which was also in Christ Jesus. So now 1-4 is describing what that mind was. Amen. Or is. So look at Philippians 2. Look at verse 1. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye might be, what, saints? Like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. What one mind is that, saints? The mind of Christ. Huh? The one mind is the mind of Christ. Look at verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, here we go again, let each esteem others better than themselves. See, when you esteem others better than yourself, saints, you can help them. Huh? It's not about you. Or what they could do for you, saints. I'm talking about the mind of Christ now. Hey, amen. See, Christ came in a mindset. It wasn't about him. It was about getting us back to the Father. That was his mindset. I got to get them back, Lord. They lost without you, Father. That's the mind of Christ. Amen. Look at verse 4. It says, look not every man on his own things. Here we go. But every man also on the things of others. See, you're not focusing on your thing, huh? Or what they could do for you, huh? Your focus is helping others. Amen? Then we get to verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's the mind you want in you, huh? That's why young lady stood up last week and said, we are blessed to be a blessing. She had it totally right. Amen. It ain't about, I'm blessed to say I'm blessed. Look at how blessed I am. You all see how blessed. Look what God is doing in me. That's not why he blesses us. He blesses us to be a blessing to each other. Amen. And see, he's preparing us right now for this radio, saints. You hear me? So we got to have the mind of Christ because we're going to hear some crazy stuff like that text. I wish I could have showed you all the whole text, but you wouldn't believe it. Huh? All the things that was in it was unbelievable. Amen. But I thank God for the mind of Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus had a mind to serve God's saints. Do things God's way. Huh? Not my will, but your will. That was the mind of Christ. Serve God, serve others. So we're serving God and man as well. A servant. Amen? You got to get that peace, saints. I thank God for the mind of Christ, saints. Because with the mind of Christ, guess what happens? We win every battle. See, you all hear me stand up here and say, there is no losing in Christ ever. Well, how can I say that? Huh? Because the world mindset is much different than that. See, you will have tribulation in Christ, and you're going to have tribulation in the world. Amen? Hear me on this one. You will have tribulation in Christ, you're going to have tribulation in the world. The difference is, in Christ, you're going to win every battle. Amen? And the tribulation that you run into in the world, those trials and different things, you're going to lose some of those battles if you're not in Christ. Amen. That's why Jesus made this bold statement. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. He said, be happy about that. Huh? How can you be happy about some tribulation? He said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Why he said that? Jesus defeated Satan and the world. Amen. So we can be happy even going through tribulation because Jesus already defeated. That's why you can't lose. That's why I can boldly say we win every battle. So when you're in a battle, you got to get this in your spirit. When you're in a battle, please know you're not going to lose. You're not going to lose that in Christ. If you're in Christ and you know you're in Christ, you will win that battle. I don't care what the battle is. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the mind of Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus has overcame the world. And the world's wisdom, saint, is so far-fetched. It's contrary to God's word. Amen? You all hearing me? But with the mind of Christ, you can overcome the world. Last week, I reviewed some of the world's wisdom, and I'm going to review it again. I'm still on part one right now. I'm going to try to get to part two. Here's some world's wisdom. Let's take prayer out of the school. Supreme Court. How supreme are you to think like that? Supreme Court decided that in 1962. Take prayer out of the school. This is world wisdom I'm telling you about right now. Huh? What the Bible say about prayer? Man ought to always or pray without. Huh? I told you all about the post I saw on Facebook. Pastor Harden said we shouldn't be on Facebook. We should be in God's book. Amen. Somebody showed me that post, Pastor Harden. Praise God. They did, for real, Pastor Harden. But the post said this. The kids was asking God, why did he allow such violence in the schools? Amen. This was the post I saw on Facebook. Lord, why do you allow this kind of violence in our schools? And you all know what God's response was, right? I'm not even allowed in your schools. Amen. See, we want to blame God for everything, but we done took him out of the school. Amen. But them kids got angry. They getting some small little results now. Something going to happen on that deal. Amen. Listen to this world thinking right here. We can't discipline our own children physically. That's world's wisdom. That's not God's wisdom. You discipline your own children physically, you can stand the risk of being locked up yourself for that, for disciplining your own children. Amen? And the Bible clearly says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. But the rod of correction will drive it far, far away. They want to get mad at us for disciplining our own children. That's the world. That's the devil, actually. Now, I know we train our children, but when they refuse to listen, they got to get that pow, pow. That's what they call it. In some places, I know. They say, these kids, I'm like, you're going to get the pow, pow. Amen. That's God's wisdom. How about this one right here? No displaying of the Ten Commandments in public places. Supreme Court ruling in 1980. We don't want God's laws displayed in public places. We don't want you all to know. Because, you know, people are being destroyed for lack of knowledge. If you don't even know how you should act, amen? And they saying, which this country supposedly was built on that, on God's laws, they saying, nope, we taking that out. We don't even want, you know, no displaying of the Ten Commandments in public places. Supreme Court rule in 1980. Listen to what Romans say. Romans 1 and verse 19. This is what it says. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God have showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal God power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And the invisible things that God created are clearly seen. Amen. You clearly see them. The sun. It's clearly seen. Amen. How did it get there? They just got there. The moon, the stars, all those invisible things. We didn't see God put it there, but it's there. And it's functional. We know God, we know man didn't put it there. Because if man would put it there, it would break. Huh? Everything man creates, at some point falls apart. Amen. But he's saying these invisible things are clearly seen so that they are what? Without excuse. It's not going to be any excuses, saints of God. Look at verse 21. Because that when they knew God, what did they do? They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So they once knew God. They had light. We can use that on this country again. It was built on them principles. So when they knew God, they didn't glorify him. Well, we're going to stay on this law, but we're not going to give God any credit, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Their foolish heart was darkened. That's why they're making all these foolish laws right now. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's what's going on. Professing themselves to be wise, saints, they became fools. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Here goes some more man's wisdom right here. Just doesn't make any sense. Same-sex marriage. Supreme Court rule 2015. The alternative lifestyle, right? The alternative lifestyle to annihilate our own self. We can't reproduce. It's a crime of humanity, saints. We get mad. I just saw on television where this country let this nuclear bomb on a certain part of the people, and they was just laying. It was just crazy. And we're mad about that, right? How can they do their people like that? But we make a law where we can't even reproduce. We can't even get to the person. Let's know that they dumping the bombs to kill them. They're not even coming forth. No more images of God is coming forth in that alternative lifestyle. Amen. See, if her and I get together, saints of God, we can produce that. Or that. That right there. Or that. We can produce them. But if two men get together, God can't create. He's the creator. The number one thing he wants to create is life through you. That's the number. Images that look like him. That's what he wants to create. Amen. That's why he says it's an abomination. He didn't say sin. He says straight disgusting. You going to do it just whatever you want to do. I can't create. You have no. You just totally disrespecting me. That's what it is. That's why he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. I can do nothing. I can't create anything through you all. You're useless to me. Ooh, you don't want God to ever feel like you're just useless to God. I should have caught your daughter and God. Ooh, Lord, I let her get away. Ooh, you know, I saw her, but I was, wow. It's nothing like when the whole family is there, you know? God is about family, saints. Thank you, Jesus. So I was on this same-sex marriage abomination, right? What did somebody say? Obama? Obama nation. I don't know where that came from. I just heard that. I don't know where that came from. It's an abomination. Wow. Wow. So anyway, so Lord, we thank you for giving us your word, which sets a standard, Lord. See, a lethal combination is the world's wisdom in the flesh. When them two get together, that's a dangerous concoction. Amen. But we combat that with the mind of Christ and the Spirit of God. Amen. That's how we combat the world's wisdom in the flesh. We can see it's off just by the word of God. The world's wisdom, saints, and thinking like the world is dangerous. Amen. This is what it says in Romans 12 in chapter 2. It says, and be not conformed to this world. God is telling us, right? Don't be conformed. Don't think about this foolishness. All that foolishness I just read you, don't conform to that. Huh? But be ye transformed by how, saints? Renewing the battlefield. That's how you get away with it. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's why the scripture said, let the mind that's in Christ be in us. Amen. At the end of the day, saints, it's so important to know Jesus, to receive him and to allow our minds to be transformed. Let the mind that's in Christ be in us, saints. Jesus was our perfect example because he lived in flesh, but he walked in the spirit. And to discern God's plan for your life, even though you live in flesh, you got to be led by the spirit, saints, with the mind of Christ to discern what you're going to do with your life. Amen. How can we discern with God's mind? He created you for a purpose. Amen. So how are you going to know what the purpose is? Go back to the one who created you. Huh? When something is wrong with your car, what do? You go right back to the manufacturer. Look, this has got a problem. Huh? Same thing with God. We have to get back to the manufacturer. Lord, what is it that you created me to do anyway? Huh? I don't want to do my own will. That's all he wants you to do. Then he wants you to repent. Lord, I got it all wrong. Huh? This foolishness I was doing, I got it so twisted. Huh? Then confess, I need you, Lord. I'm lost without you. Ooh, thank you for getting that mind that's in Christ. And that's what he's doing when you begin to do that. Now you're getting the mind of Christ. Amen. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. See, can I get through this, saints? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Oh, we're looking good. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Here we go. It says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. You know what Paul was telling them when he went to Corinth? He said, I wasn't trying to impress you with fancy words or my knowledge. Amen. He didn't come there like that. Amen. And did you all notice Paul was a learned scholar? He could have came like that. He said, I'm not going to come to you all like that. Amen. He said, I'm just going to come to you declaring unto you the testimony of God. What is that? Huh? What's the testimony of God? That's what he came with. The testimony of God is the cross. Amen. That's it. That's what I'm coming to Corinth with, the testimony of God. I'm not trying to impress you with some nice, beautiful words. Huh? It's not a show. I just got the testimony of God. Amen. Look what verse 2 said. Thank you, Jesus. Let me just say this before I go to verse 2. When we're witnessing to someone, saints, We need to focus on the cross too. Jesus died for us. Because people are really weighed down with sin, and the cross will make them free. You hear me? Jesus died for our sins. We don't have to die for our sins. They need to know that. Because they have a lot of guilt. They weighed down. But we got to let them know the price has already been paid. That's our first area of witness. Okay? Look at verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you, save what, saints? Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's it. Paul said, I could get all into my scholarly ability, but I determined not to do that. All I want you to know is Jesus Christ and him crucified. He decided not to boast on his knowledge, saints. It was about Jesus Christ and him crucified, saints. That's it. That's all. Huh? So listen to me. If people begin to go into a pity party about their life, huh, when you're witnessing to them, because that's what happened. Oh, this didn't happen. My mama did this to me. My daddy did. When they go, you listen to them. Amen? And then you go right back into Jesus Christ and him crucified. Hear me? But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. That's what you get on. Amen. We want them to know they are not alone. As a matter of fact, they are part of the family. Invite them to sit down and take a seat. Amen. Let them know, hey, I'm no better than you. Amen. We all in this together. Let them know they are welcome, saints. They need deliverance, not judgment. Amen. All right, look at verse 3. It says this, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And Paul taught us this, saints, when we are at our weakest moment, God is resting on us. Amen. Paul taught us that. So that's why we can't lose. Huh? People think, oh, I'm down now. I'm at my weakest moment. They can kick me. No, they can't. When you're at your weakest moment, God is resting on you. Amen. Remember in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, God told Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. Paul was complaining about these three things, or he complained three times about this thorn that was in his side that he just wanted God to get rid of it. Lord, you got to get rid of this issue right here. It's bothering me. God told him, my grace is sufficient. Then he said these powerful words right here. He said, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. How can his strength be made perfect in weakness? See, that don't make no sense. But you know how his strength could be? Because you are out of the way now.
That's right.
Huh? He ain't battling you anymore, huh? Because when you see your will is awesome, it's tough. That flesh is crazy, huh? But when you get out of the way, God can really use you. Amen. Huh? That's when his perfect strength is about to come forth. Amen. He showed me that when my son passed away. Oh, I was at my weakest moment. Good Lord, my baby, my son, my oldest son. But Lord, with that strength God showed me, whew, y'all don't know nothing about that. Many of y'all know a thing about that. Amen. Woo, Lord. Look at verse 4. It said, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Woo! That's what I love about the Word of God. See, when that Word goes forth, then it's a demonstration of power. Amen. That's what I love. You know, I used to think when I would speak all these powerful words God would give me, I would be like, wow, Lord, that was awesome. Now, that wasn't. It's that demonstration of power after them words. Whoo, Lord, have mercy. It's the Holy Spirit speaking through you. That's power, saints. You hear me? When you walk in the message, hear it and do it. That's a demonstration of power. You all hearing me? When you walk, when that message comes forth and y'all begin to walk in it, huh? Hearing it and doing it, that is a demonstration of power. Amen? And we hear testimonies of increase. I got the job. This happened for me. That happened. My relationship is good now. I'm renewed. I'm stronger. That's a demonstration of power. When the word goes forth, saints of God, afterwards, there's a demonstration of power. Amen. And I love that. Look at verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man. We know why now, right? Don't let your faith stand on the wisdom of man. But what? In the power of God. Our faith is hanging on God's power and not man's wisdom. Huh? All that foolishness. And you see why? You see all that foolishness I read of man's wisdom? You can't put your faith on that. Huh? You got to let it hang on God's power, saints of God. Don't worry about what man's saying about you. If a man talks negatively about you, saints, look here, listen to me. Who cares? Your faith is not hanging on that man's power. Amen? Who cares? Our faith is in the power of God. We are interested in what God is saying, God's words. We don't care nothing about what man is saying about us. Amen? Matter of fact, I like to give them something to talk about. Since y'all want to talk. Amen. I showed you all that last week. I got to show it again. Because when I was in the flesh, it was bad. It was bad. I was just crazy. Like y'all know how flesh get. And I was good at it. I was serving the devil well. Amen. And I come in the house, and my mama being there sitting down talking to her sisters, and they get all quiet. They say, you know we talking about you. I say, I know y'all talking about me because I'm giving y'all something to talk about. He got all these women, and he doing this, and he doing that. I was crazy. I was in the flesh. Huh? That's what flesh do. And I was giving them a lot to talk about. Amen. But the same thing for God, even greater. I want to give them something to talk about. Let them talk about you, but give them something to talk about. Huh? Now you in Christ, you want to be quiet. No, don't be quiet. Oh, Lord, look, now I'm going to start this internet radio, and I'm going to reach out to them families that's lost out there. Give them something, let them talk about that. He going to do what? Who he think he is? He going to start an internet radio Bible study, and he going to reach out to families. Who he think he is? Yeah, give them something to talk about. Amen. Amen. That's how you do it. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just interested in what God's word is saying to me. You hear me, saints? Look at verse 6. It says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, because we saw what that looked like, right? Nor the princes of this world that come to naught. See, the wisdom of this world, all that foolishness that I read you, men marrying men, women marrying women, you can't discipline your own children, no prayer in the school, all that foolishness, that is coming to naught. Right. Amen. It's coming to naught even while we're seeing it, right here, before God come and destroy all that mess. Huh? It's coming to naught right now. People are realizing this is crazy. Huh? The wisdom of this world, saints, is not going to last. It's coming to naught. But God's word is settled in heaven. How long is it, saints? It's forever. Amen. Heaven and earth will pass away, right? But God's word will never pass away. It's forever. Amen. Oh, you got to see that one. Look at verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. See, God spoke his wisdom in a mystery, saints, many times in parables. Amen. They didn't know what he was talking about. Huh? You all know, like, if you destroy this house, I'll build it back in 3 days. You're looking at him like, what the world are you talking about? We know you're a carpenter, huh? But you're going to build a house in 3 days. They didn't have a clue. What is he talking about? Amen. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. Amen. Jesus did that all the time, saints. don't eat the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Honey was like, what are you talking about, bread? Don't eat the leaven of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. But he was talking about doctrine, right? Right. Huh? Don't buy into that Pharisee and Sadducee doctrine when we get over there. That's what I'm talking about right now today. Don't buy into the world's wisdom. Amen. When you get out there, don't buy into that foolishness. Don't eat that bread. Amen. That's what he was telling them. Pharisees and Sadducees, that's the world's wisdom. What about this one, saints? He said, Lazarus is asleep. He was like, he's asleep. He said, look, now Mary and Martha called us, but Lazarus is asleep. They said, well, if he's asleep, he's doing well then. Huh? He had to make it plain to him because he was speaking his words in a mystery. He said, look, Lazarus is dead. And then he took a couple of extra days to get there. Because he wanted to show that demonstration of power. Amen. So he didn't rush over there. Everybody was, if you would have just came, if you would, you know, you would have did this. And he said, well, he's going to be fine. You know, they said, well, we know that in the resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection. You're missing it. Lord have mercy. One of the greatest mysteries, saints, is found in Colossians. Colossians 1, chapter 1. I got to read this one to you. This is one of the greatest mysteries right here. Colossians 1, look at verse 19. It said, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. See, in Jesus Christ, saints, all the fullness is dwelling. That's why we want that mind in us. So all the fullness can dwell. Amen. So we don't lose battles. That's over with. Everybody say, losing battles is over. It's over. You win every one. See, that's a mindset. I got to get that in your mind. So you never expect, no matter what I'm into, I never expect to lose. Amen? Never. Praise God. All the fullness dwells in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things on earth or things in. See, the blood of his cross straightened things out on earth and in heaven, saints of God. All the fullness is in him. Amen. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your what? Mind. That's where the battle is. You that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by what? Wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Where's the battle at, saints? In the mind. We was enemies to Christ in our mind. Amen. But now, and was doing wicked works. Yet now, he reconciled us. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. Huh? That's why we want to come to him correctly. He reconciled all that mess when we was enemies against him in our mind. Amen. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Thank you again, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Look at verse 22. It says, in the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unprovable in his sight. We speak in God's wisdom right now in a mystery. Jesus died and presented us holy and unblameable and unprovable in the sight of God. Come on, saints of God. Say amen to that. Amen. If you continue in the faith, what do we have to do here? If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am a minister. Huh? If we continue, it said, he died presenting us holy, unblameable, unreprovable in God's sight. Amen. Look at verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is who? The church, us. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the what? Mystery, which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. See, the mystery is made manifest now, and I'm about to reveal it to you. Huh? Because he speaks these words in a mystery, but it was hidden. Amen. I'm going to reveal it to you right now. Look at verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what, saints? Christ living in you. The hope of glory. The mind of Christ in you. Huh? They still can't figure that out. It's a mystery. They looking at it like, what in the world? What do you mean Christ is living in me? Huh? It's a mystery. They can't figure that out. When we receive it, when we say, Lord, come and dwell inside of me. Have your way. Not my will, but your will. That's a mystery. They don't believe it's real. Amen. That's why they lose battles and we don't. Amen. Because we believe it. Oh, Lord, have mercy. That's a high-end mystery, saints. Christ living inside of us. Huh? If they would have knew that mystery, they wouldn't have killed him. Huh? They would have never killed him if they knew it, but it was a mystery. They didn't know what they were doing. Who are you, not the Christ? Please, well, just tell us, are you really the Christ? But I told you. Oh, no, you're not the Christ. You really not the Christ. How can you be the Son of God? Okay, if you just tell us the truth, then we'll let you go. I'm telling you the truth. Amen. How come they couldn't get it? Because it was a mystery. They just couldn't. What is he talking about? Amen. Christ dwelling inside of us is a mystery. Amen. Powerful mystery. Look at verse 28. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. See, we preach and teach and warn men of this wisdom right here so we can present them perfect. Amen. I want to be right. I want to get my life right. I want to get perfect. Well, let Christ dwell inside. Get with this mystery I'm about to show you. If you can get with this, you can have all of that. Amen. Look at verse 29. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. See, my goal is to make this mystery known, saints. Christ dwelling inside of you, the mind of Christ in you. Amen. I got to show y'all that mystery. All right, we're going to finish this up in verse 8. Going back to 1 Corinthians 2, I wanted to show you that great mystery. Was that a great mystery, saints? Look at what Paul is saying now. Look at verse 8. I showed y'all the great mystery, right? Listen to verse 8. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They didn't know that mystery. Amen. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. They think they got something, saints. But we have some stuff eyes have not even seen, neither ears have heard, neither has entered into the heart of man. Huh? What God has prepared for us who love him. Huh? They don't get this piece right here. But God hath revealed them unto us, how? By his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man? Amen. Which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Amen. See, when we have the Spirit of God, Christ dwelling in us, amen, things get revealed to us. He created us, huh? And when we're in good standards with him through Christ, who we allowed to get the reproach off of us, now we can see it. Now it's no longer a mystery to us. We can see it clearly what we need to do. Amen. Look at verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. What don't we have? We don't have that, huh? But the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. How are we going to know them? By the spirit of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, that foolishness, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Amen. Listen to this. Look at verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, because it's a mystery to him. For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually. They can't discern. They can't discern spiritual things. Huh? It's foolishness. That's why they can make these foolish laws. They can't discern. Huh? They trying to, it's about money, the God of this world. Huh? The love of that is the path to all evil. What does the scripture say? The root of all evil. Amen. The love of it. Not the money. The love of the money. Amen. That's what gets you in trouble. Amen. We use it because we need to use it to live in this world. But when we start to love it, oh, we get in trouble. We get in trouble. That leads us into anything. Amen. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. Amen. For who have known the mind of the Lord? See how they're going to judge you. They don't know the mind of the Lord. Amen. Who has known that he may instruct him? Huh? They don't know the mind of Christ. They can't instruct you. They can't judge you. They don't know the mind of Christ. But we have, come on, saints, the mind of Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for your mind, Lord, for keeping us in our right mind with your mind in us, living in us, Lord.